Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, was it a haunted house or did weird things just happen at that house?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
It is, and if you have a real ghost story, why not share it with us? We'd love to hear it. Call in anytime at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want an ad-free version of the show along with advanced episodes and access to the archive, become a premium subscriber. You can do that through Apple Podcasts or even try it for 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. Kathy Gordon!
Well, Carolina Annabella Ahaza, how's it going?
That's another story right there.
Yeah, we just used to make up long names for each other, and that was Carol's.
Yours is Katerina?
I don't even remember now, but yours was
Katerina,
good.
Katerina, Susanna, I don't, but mine was Ahaza. Carolina Annabella Ahaza, and I don't even know why we chose
I have
Ahaza.
Not a clue, but that's what we were. So who
in
knows?
My mind,
we were
it has
10 years old and thinking we were hilariously funny.
But how is it all these years later you still remember that?
I don't know. I just do.
It was at one time Carolina Annabella Ahaza.
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 So don't you think that some houses like maybe could be haunted or maybe just weird shit happens there?
Well, I'm trying to figure out exactly what this weird shit is that they're talking about. Like, I think I need to hear what this weird shit exactly is so we have some kind of barometer for it.
You can live in a house that's haunted, but it's kind of a playful thing. And so it doesn't feel haunted. It's just like weird things happen in the house.
Well, I have things, you know, that happen in my house right now daily. I don't necessarily think it feels evil, but they're odd, you know?
Well, the last house I lived in, Tony would always tease me about my haunted, not haunted house. But I, to this day, do not believe that's a haunted house. I don't. Because nothing at all happened to my friend who lived there ever. But I had lots of weird things happen.
And well, once again, sensitive versus unsensitive. And I don't mean that in a mean way, just sensitive to, you know, the experience. Whereas other people are not. But I got to know what these weird things are before I can.
Well, let's dive into the story and then we can discuss it.
All right.
Okay. So several years ago, my roommate Claire and I rented a small 3-bedroom, 1-bath old frame house in Austin, Texas.
Oh, I love
Austin. We do love Austin. Our sister lives there. If memory serves correctly, the house was built in 1936. It was a 1-story with a living room, dining room, and kitchen basically on the left side, and my bedroom, the bathroom, and her bedroom on the right side with my son's bedroom across the back. I loved the little house. It was painted blue with white trim and had a china berry tree off a small front porch in a great old neighborhood. I'm not sure what kind of tree that is.
I'm not either.
But they had one. Not long after moving in, my son was at his father's house, and Claire and I were in the living room watching Unsolved Mysteries. Everybody loves that show.
Oh, I do. I love it.
Especially Robert Stack. Yeah. The story had something to do with a haunted house, although I don't remember exactly what it was about. As we were watching, Claire said something along the lines of how scary it would be to live in a house with a ghost. And she had no sooner finished speaking when the door to my bedroom started to swing shut. It stopped about a foot from closing. She looked at me with huge eyes, and I looked at her. I was standing close to the door when it happened, so I just reached over and opened it back up. I moved it back and forth a few times, looked back at Claire, and shrugged. Now, this was an old house built on a pier and beam, and the floors were no longer level. Could the door have swung nearly closed on its own? Of course. The curious thing about the incident was the timing and the fact that in 4 years I'd lived in the house, the door had never moved without a living person moving it. Another night when my son was at his father's, my boyfriend and I were sitting on my bed talking when we heard what sounded like a big marble roll off Claire's dresser. It rolled across her bedroom and under her door, down the short hall between our rooms and under my door. The interior doors all had a good 3-inch clearance except the bathroom door, so I got up and looked on my floor and there was nothing. Nothing at all. We very clearly heard the marble, that's in quotes, roll, drop, roll, and stop about 2 feet into my room. I opened my door to the hall a little, no marble. Claire wasn't home, so I opened her door and looked on her bedroom floor, no marble. I couldn't find a marble anywhere, not under my bed, not outside the bathroom, not under her bed. Thinking maybe that what we actually heard came between the dining room and the living room, I looked there, no marble. I could never explain it. My boyfriend and I clearly heard something, but there was nothing, nothing at all. In an aside, a few months after this happened, we were talking to a friend of his, and I was recounting this experience. When I said we heard a marble fall and roll, my boyfriend looked incredulously at me and said, "Marble? That was a bowling ball." I don't know if it really sounded like a bowling ball to him, or if in the weeks since it happened, he had exaggerated what he'd actually heard. In any case, I heard a marble. All in all, though, there really wasn't anything scary or particularly paranormal about the house. Maybe a few other little things happened, but I could easily come up with reasonable explanations as to what was going on. However, the following experience was a very different kind of experience. It was New Year's Day, and I was bored. It was probably about 12 to 1 p.m., middle of the day. I worked at a live music venue back then and was used to late nights, but my boyfriend wasn't. He was taking a nap on the couch. Claire was out, and again, my son was with his father, so I needed something to do. I had always wanted to explore the crawl space under the house and decided this was the perfect time. Now, there's where I can't wrap my brain around that.
You know, I've got one word.
Hell.
Snakes.
I had two words. Hell no.
Snakes. I'm not, like, how about skunks? Armadillos.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
There's all kinds of things that can be under the crawl space.
And I know exactly what you're talking about because I lived in a pier and beam house too when I was in Texas. And I'm like, no way.
I don't even know what a pier and beam house is.
Well, they're built up off the ground.
Oh, okay.
Because, well, I think there's like bedrock that's hard to dig down into.
So like the places where it floods and you see those houses.
Yeah. And so they're built up a little bit. So it's not like way high, but it's up off the ground.
Okay. I'm with you.
So when you go to crawl under it, there's room to crawl under it, but there's room for any critter to crawl under it.
And my house would truly be a crawl space. Like you have to crawl.
Right. No, it's not like your house.
And when I moved in, they're like, well, you know, you could get in here, you know, if there's a tornado. I'm like, hell no. I'm going with the house then. If my choice is to crawl in that space or perhaps get taken away by the tornado, I guess it's my day to go because I am not getting in that crawl space. I'll grab a mattress. I have a twin size mattress. I'll grab the small one. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I can't with that. There was a door in the siding at the back of the house that you accessed from the backyard. When you entered it, there was enough room that you were able to easily stand up. So it isn't a crawl space, I guess, like mine.
But no, not at all. There is a lot of room.
The house was built on top of a small hill. So as you moved from under the back of the house towards the front of the house, the space grew shorter and shorter. In fact, there was a small berm, for lack of a better term, that had been cut into in order to form a storage area just inside the door. I had a flashlight with me and climbed over the berm and began exploring. Brave or crazy, I don't know which one.
Oh my gosh, so brave.
And crazy. I started along the left-hand side at the back and under my son's room. As I moved up the side of the house, I came across various, in quotes, treasures, some old papers. Well, not too old, really, just from the 60s. That's pretty old.
Okay.
I found some handmade dolls. Creepy.
Now what? Like, way to bury the lead. Like,
handmade,
are you kidding?
Dolls.
You're finding handmade dolls, like voodoo dolls?
I don't know.
Weird. Okay.
I remember finding several small old bottles. That doesn't surprise me. Nothing too spectacular. As I moved closer and closer to the front of the house, I was forced to squat or sit with my legs out in front of me as I rooted around in the dirt.
No.
Oh, my gosh. I can't.
Oh, bugs and snakes and spiders.
Oh, my. I came across an old coffee can. It was rusty and had no bottom or top. It was very distinctive, though, in the way the parts of it were completely rusted out. I don't remember what the brand was or if you could even still read any writing on it. I pushed the can out of my way to the right, but I kept running into it. All I was really doing was moving it into my path. After moving it for what seemed like the umpteenth time, I grew frustrated, threw it over my left shoulder to the front right corner of the house. I heard it hit the dirt and roll a little bit. I didn't give it a second thought. I'd also come across an old 1x4 board in the dirt that I was using to hold my found objects. As I continued along and moved farther away from the board, I would really have to stretch out my left arm to reach it. I remember finding one of the glass bottles, and without thinking, I stretched out, set the bottle down, and straightened back up, but something didn't seem right. I realized I didn't have to stretch quite so far that time. I moved my flashlight beam to the 1x4, and the end closest to me was now lifted off the dirt and sitting on top of the old rusted coffee can that I had thrown to the far corner of the house. I immediately froze. I stared at the coffee can and the board and my treasures. I sat immobilized for a time as the shock was settling in. My first thought was that whatever or whoever propped up the 1x4 on the coffee can was trying to be helpful. It was easier for me to reach now. My second thought, however, was that it was trying to creep me out. If that was the case, it succeeded. Not knowing what to do or how to act, I thanked it and calmly, or as calmly as I was able to, made my way back to the berm and out the door into the backyard. I ran up to the side door, tore through the house to wake up my boyfriend. I got another flashlight, took him under the house to the 1x4 and the coffee can. I showed him everything, and neither of us could ever come up with a non-paranormal reason for what had occurred. I moved away from the house when my landlord put it on the market. I was never uncomfortable inside the house, and if I would have had the money, I probably would have bought it. However, I felt very differently about that crawl space. I never did go back under the house, and I left all my treasures sitting right on top of that 1x4, right on top of the coffee can. I wouldn't be surprised if they are still sitting right where I left them. Crazy thing about Austin is once the landlord put it on the market, she probably could have never afforded it.
Oh, no, that's probably Lord. $1 million house now.
Yeah. So, you see what I mean? Like, parts of that feel, you know, I don't know. Was there a marble? Was there a bowling ball? Were these things really happening? Or maybe more of the paranormal stuff was attached to the crawl space. Was that paranormal? Was it some fluky thing that the coffee can made its way somehow back from the corner she threw it in and was propping up a 1x4 to help her put her things she was gathering on it? I don't know.
Well,
or is the house just weird? Like the door opening.
Well, Austin is weird, right? Keep Austin weird. So it, I think there are a lot of weird things.
I hadn't even thought about that. That's their what they say about Austin. Keep Austin weird. So yeah. Maybe the headline or the title to this story is true.
It's weird because it is Austin, but could it be even a little more than weird? What makes me think that there's a little bit more than weird in this story is a couple things. When the marble thing rolls, whether it's the marble ball or the bowling ball or whatever, they thought both of them felt like something.
They both heard
wrong happened, right? Yeah. They both went, that's not right.
And enough then to investigate it and look for it.
Right. The door opens when it shouldn't. Both her and the roommate are like, that's not right. And they look at each other. They know it. Okay. So I think a couple things happened before she went down into the crawl space, but nothing seems like it's mean or threatening. So when that happens, you think, oh, you know, it's okay. It's just me or it's just this because it didn't have the darkness attached to it.
Right.
You know, when I was living in the house, and it kind of reminded me of this house, though it was older. I think mine was around 1880 or something like that, that I was living in when I was in Texas. And it was that Pier and Beam business. And at night when I would be in bed because I lived there by myself. So it was, you know, very, very quiet. I could hear animals underneath there in that crawl space. Like I knew something would be under there. And so that was one thing. Like I thought, okay, there's an armadillo. And that was not unusual for armadillos in my neighborhood to be under there. And they would make that clacky noise and you would know that, right? But one night I was laying in bed and I heard a noise in the wall, right? And I'm trying to figure out, like, how it's in the wall. But then I start to hear it. It's, like, kind of behind my headboard in the wall, this kind of, like as if something's back there scratching, moving, or whatever. But then I hear it, and so it's up, like, maybe eye level. It's not down low. And I hear it move around me, and then I hear it go through the wall, like all around my house. And then I hear it speed up, and then I hear it just moving, like as if it's moving through the walls. But it can't move through the walls, right? Because there's beams. I mean, there's like 2x4s and things, right, in the walls. Like, it can't just move through the walls, but it is until it's finally like whooshing around through
the
walls.
Jesus Christ. You needed a priest.
I was scared to death. And like, I laid there, and Carol, this went on for an hour or more. Like, I was petrified. It went on and on and on, this just whooshing through the walls. And it only ever happened that one night. I never heard it happen again.
You almost sounded disappointed.
Well, no, I wasn't disappointed, but it's weird that you would think.
Because I've heard mice in walls before, and that's
this was
freaky
big.
Sounding,
it was like,
it doesn't sound
like
that.
No, it was big, whatever it was. It was like big and loud. But it can't, I'm like, but an animal can't be running through the walls like this. It can't happen. There would be things to stop them, like wiring. And, you know, like, it can't. I don't understand how this is in the walls.
If it is an animal, what the hell is it?
It would be impossible for it to move that fast, too. It was just, but it was going all through the walls, all around the house. Like, I could hear it in the other rooms, and then it would come back behind my room and then go and, you know, and it just went on and on and on. Yeah.
So back to this woman in Austin. Yeah. Do you think
sorry
her
about
house
that. I got
haunted?
Sidetracked.
Do you think haunted or weird? Or could be both. It could be haunted, weird, and maybe it's a weird house, unlevel, whatever.
Which
maybe
is common
there was
in Texas.
Maybe there was a marble and you just couldn't find it. Maybe. I don't know. But the crawl space, maybe that is haunted.
It's definitely creepy.
Couldn't she have both?
Yeah. I think maybe there was a little something there.
Okay.
I do. Because I think she felt it.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting. You know. All of those things happened when her son was not home.
Yeah, true.
So I like that idea that the son wasn't being scared by anything. Just at his dad's house when weird shit happens. I like that. Mm-hmm. Well, if you like the show and want an ad-free experience, sign up to be a premium subscriber. Go to applepodcast.com, try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August is finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.